Nature fascinates me, whether it is the emptiness of the vast Sahara Desert, or whether it is the lush, endless green forests of the Amazon forests, or the white, ice-capped Arctic Circle, covered with deer as far as you can see, or the fascinating underworld of Australia's Great Barrier Reef with all of its little creatures. I never cease to marvel at what nature is able to create and sustain. For me, it is the single most fascinating thing, more than any other creation that mankind has been able to come up with. But to be sure, when I think of all of nature's spectacles, none fascinates me and entices me more than Botswana's Okavango Delta. Thankfully, having been born in Botswana, the Okavango Delta is literally a stone throw from me. And so over the last 20 years, I have been able to indulge myself and go in and out of the Delta with some frequency. Botswana's Okavango Delta has been called by the National Geographic scientist, the last Eden. I agree. The Delta is unusual in more ways than one, other than being one of the few deltas that end inland. Though it is in Botswana, we owe its existence to the rainfalls in Angola. When the rains fall in Angola and the rivers spill, literally, they spill into Botswana, and trickle by trickle, begin a march of every year. This panhandle that erupts into a series of waterways and islands transforms that part of the country like you couldn't believe. If you go there from one season to another, the landscape in the Okavango Delta is essentially unrecognizable. People ask me all the time, what is the best time to go to the Delta? And I'll tell them, every time is the best time. And you must make sure you go there at different times of the year to truly appreciate what the Delta has to offer. Because the winter in the Delta in some parts is different from the summer completely and in ways that are unrecognizable. If you go to the Delta in the dry seasons between September and October, there too the landscape has changed completely. And if you go during the rainy season in December, you will be treated to a fundamentally different world. This is one of the things I like about the Delta, that almost on a seasonal basis, it transforms itself. And as it changes with the elements, so too do the creatures that live and thrive on the Delta. Depending on what time of year you go, you will be treated to different animals. And if you are not treated to different animals, you'll be treated to different behavior. For the first 10 years when I went in and out of the Delta, I never took pictures. I was content with just watching nature's animals. But more recently, I have taken photographs and video clips. I'm particularly fascinated by the behavior of mammals. Because almost every time these wild animals do something, there is a reason. Their level of efficiency is extraordinary. Animals don't do anything for fun. Every time they do something, either they are teaching a little one, they are warning off somebody, or they are gearing themselves up to hunt for food. I've learned a lot from the men and women who show me these animals when I go and visit. One of the things I've learned is that you must exercise patience in the wild. Most people go to the Delta and they want to see everything immediately. Well, if that's your attitude, you will maybe be disappointed. But then you might be lucky too. But if you exercise patience, you are never disappointed, because sooner or later, somebody is bound to do something that you've never seen before and that is just extraordinary. And so when I'm in the Delta and they say, well, Sheila, what do you want to do today? I tell them, I'll go out. I'll leave it to nature to see what we find. And sure enough, always come up with something. Even in the absence of animals, watching trees, watching flowers, watching butterflies, watching birds, it's just fascinating. But there's something that also interests me when I watch animals in the wild. To be sure, animals are very civilized. I don't know who got the notion that human beings are civilized and that animals living in nature are uncivilized. In my experience, nothing could be further from the truth. For one, animals have the greatest regard for each other. Animals have the greatest regard for life. Animals have the greatest regard for nature. We can't say the same of human beings. My sense is that if we watched animals behave and learn from them the respect they have for the environment, the world would be a better place. On this page, I'm going to share with you some photographs. I hope you enjoy them. I'm also going to share with you clips that I've taken. They're largely about animal behavior, to understand why animals behave a particular way. They are not scientific by any stretch of imagination, but I do hope you find them enlightening and educating. And I do hope, too, that they make you think about the relationship between you and nature and what, if anything, you can do to contribute to the nature of our world, what you can contribute to the animals around you. The one thing you shouldn't do is take animals out of their wild if you can help it. People who delude themselves in believing they're like animals by taking them from the wild and putting them in cages in cities, I can't think of anything more cruel given what I have seen about animals and their interaction with nature. Talk to me when you have seen these videos and tell me what you think. I hope they educate you the way they have educated me.